Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Christ the King Sunday concludes the year of reading Luke in the Gospel. It's a final testimony about Jesus as God's way of ruling in the world and in the world to come. These titles for Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, King, are used so much they don't perhaps have a lot of impact, but they're very important terms. Jesus' crucifixion is a long way from thinking about being a king or Messiah or Son of God. His crucifixion was not between two candles on an altar. It's between two thieves on a mountaintop that looked like a skull. It was a death that was painful and slow. Not just a sentence of death, but a shaming. The power of this comes in that it's Jesus' completion of his journey to Jerusalem. In Luke, he predicts his passion three times, and it emphasizes his intensity that he continues toward Jerusalem. His presence also, though, reveals the rejection of Jesus and his mission by those in power. The disagreement between the criminals may be perhaps the most revealing part of the story. Following the direction of Jerusalem's leaders, one of the criminals ridicules Jesus. Save yourself and us. Selfish, probably as his life was. Don't just save yourself, save us as well. Wanting to use Jesus' identity as a Messiah for his personal health and well-being. But in Luke, we also hear from the second criminal a very different response. He says, this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. Not like us. We're being punished because we committed a crime. And we're receiving the sentence for that crime. But this man did nothing wrong. And the thing is, that echoes the words of Pilate. It says, Pilate found in him no ground for the sentence of death. Herod also would agree that he had done nothing that deserves death. And Jesus dies. In fact, the centurion will say, certainly this man was innocent. And the second thief says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus responds, today you will be with me in paradise. He asks for nothing. He doesn't ask to be set free. He simply asks that Jesus remember him. It was an important part of their culture, in their world. To be remembered is a terrible thing, to be forgotten. And I dare say most of us would prefer not to be forgotten by people who matter to us. And this man says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Whatever the kingdom is, remember me. The crucifixion in this world was a performance. It was like a play. It said to the people, Rome has all the power. Rome controls everything. And acted out like a play. It's very public. They want everyone to come out and see it. And crowds come, those who ridicule Jesus and condemn him, those in authority who colluded with the Romans to do this. They're there, mocking and waiting to see this Roman-organized play work itself out. And this man, and they and the Romans condemned, die. Jesus is associated here with criminals. One of the striking things about Luke's story is he doesn't talk a lot about the blood and gore. And we often associate that especially with the crucifixion. There have been movies about it. There are various books that have talked about that. It was a terrible, horrible way to die. But Luke doesn't emphasize that part. He does lift up the humiliation that Rome sought to impose on its enemies. Embarrassment. And Jesus, surrounded by those who knew him, is in the midst of that. And yet Jesus was innocent, said the criminal. He had done nothing deserving of death, said Pilate, and even Herod. But nevertheless, he would die. What does that sort of event say to us in the world we live in? What does it say about our own prison system? What does it say about how we deal with problems in society? Recently, you may be surprised to know that Kanye and Kim Kardashian West were in the news. That is, if you know who they are. And some of you laugh because they are in the news all the time. But they were in the news for something different. And this is what caught my attention. I certainly don't follow them. I know almost nothing about the Kardashians except their name and that they got a lot of fame by going on Facebook and Instagram and so on. But they were both in the news for significant things because they're both seeking prison reform, and they met with President Trump despite lots of criticisms from those in the entertainment community. Last week, he was in the news because he went to a jail in, I think, Texas or somewhere in the Southwest and sang Christian music to them. And then the sheriff got a letter from a group of atheists who were condemning the sheriff for allowing this man to come sing Christian songs to a captive audience. The sheriff rejected their criticism. Back in October, though, Kim Kardashian was in the news in getting someone released from prison after 23 years. According to an article in the New York Post, the man, Mamalu Stewart, was convicted in 1999 at the age of 16, sentenced as an adult. He would say, "I was buried alive, so now I've been resurrected." Stewart's release came 2 months after Kardashian wrote a letter pleading for his release. In the letter, she said this, "Stewart is especially deserving of your consideration. He has been rehabilitated and is no longer dangerous to society. While he cannot go back and change what happened when he was 16 years old, he takes responsibility for the pain he has caused to the victim's family and feels true remorse for his role in the crime that resulted in the loss of life." She talked about him having a traumatic childhood when his mother murdered his college professor father when he was 6 years old. Raised without an adult male in the picture, he turned to the streets and his life went down. While in jail, though, he earned a GED and took classes through the Georgetown Prison Scholars Program. And she would write in the letter, "I have every confidence that upon his release, he will continue to guide others away from a life of crime and continue on his own path to redemption and success." They met while she was working on something called the Justice Project, and she was visiting prisons and talking to prisoners. His comment was, "She has the ability to believe in others when the conventional aspect of things would be to shun them." She had lobbied Trump last year to pardon Alice Marie Johnson, who was serving a life sentence without parole for a nonviolent drug offense. And that's really how they established a relationship with the Trump administration, trying to free individuals who have been sentenced to long prison terms for minor offenses. Now, the truth is, we often hear that prisons are full of innocent people. Sometimes, though, that is true. It can be challenging to discern between innocence and guilt. There's also the challenge of identifying those who truly change and are rehabilitated, and providing them a second chance. And I sincerely pray that Mr. Stewart is one of those for whom the second chance makes a real difference. That's what the prisoner on the cross beside Jesus was asking for, a second chance. Not because he deserved it. He said, I deserve to be here. I committed that crime. But nevertheless, remember me. Dr. David Lowes, who was president of the seminary I attended years ago, says that to him, this passage is a passage that focuses on second chances, providing people an opportunity to change their life and live a different way. Jesus forgives those who crucify him, giving them a second chance. There's a thief who names his own sins and asks to be remembered for a second chance. And Jesus says, you will be with me today in paradise. But Luke, in this chapter and the chapter before, has all sorts of times when second chances happen. Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him, but told him he would have a second chance. After he's tried by both Pilate and Herod, and both determine that he's done nothing to die for, and yet give in to those who pressure them, they receive a second chance and they became friends, and they had been enemies before that. Later, the crowds who followed him, sometimes admiring him, sometimes jeering him, receive his words of consolation and warning and are given a second chance to see him as God's gift and God's source of hope. Later, the centurion who worked for the Romans as a soldier and participated in the crucifixion has a second chance because he declares Jesus innocent. And all the world will receive a second chance in the resurrection, the promise of new life. The key thing is that in Jesus' death and resurrection, we don't just have a second chance, but we're always given the opportunity for life, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Jesus' death, according to the rule and order and expectations of the world, is overturned. People die unjustly all the time. But in Jesus' resurrection, we are invited to see something ordinary, like death, as something also extraordinary. Unlike our death, it ushers in a new realm and order where death does not have the last word and our mistakes and regrets don't define us. Seems to me that's the key to Christ the King Sunday, to realize that Jesus is not just one more king or ruler or president, but rather he is bringing in a new order to the world. An order that turns many things upside down. An order that sees people as worthy of second chances. Not because they always make the right choice or decision the second time, because they don't. But nevertheless, giving them a second chance, an opportunity to, in some cases, undo the harm they did, and in others to make up for the harm they did. And most of us, I suspect, at least I know I do, have lots of things I wish I could have said differently or done differently or not said at times. And Jesus says, you have a second chance. Whatever was there in the past, whatever decisions you made, whatever steps you took, whatever mistakes, you have a second chance. You have a second chance. Beside Jesus, there were two thieves. One represented the world and those who judged and condemned Jesus. The others represented those who were open to a new world, a world of second chances, a world in which even someone hanging on a cross, humiliated, condemned, mocked by those around him, has a second chance. Because Jesus says, yes, I will remember you. I think, one of my favorite little musical pieces in our hymnal. It's a simple piece from the Taizé that just says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. A simple passage from the Bible, the one we all say and need to say, Jesus, remember me when I need a second chance, when I need a new chance, remember me. When I've made a mistake, remember me. The thing we try to teach our children so much. You make mistakes, you get up and keep going. Telling them you have a second chance. And praying that they, as I pray this Mr. Stewart, will use their second chance to make a difference in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.